This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the, what is today? The 25th. That's right, July 25th edition of Invest Talk. Can't believe how fast a year's gone by. And we're all about above average investing for the average investor. We try to answer your questions live during this hour, 4 to 5 p.m. specific time. Or you can leave your questions on our 24-hour listener line. Many of you do. And we'll and the number is always the same, 888-99-CHART, both live and for the listener lines. And we're going to get to those in a second. There's a lot of questions we've got to get to. Future market returns may be muted. That makes tax-efficient investing more important. A mid-year tax audit for your portfolio. And that's one of our main talking points today. That's one of our talking points. Not one of, what, four or so I'd try to do a day? And I'm sure you have your own, so we'll be happy to do that. Let's see if we can catch up on some of our listener line calls. It's open 24 hours a day for your questions. We'll try to answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Hello, Steve or Justin. It's Julian from Barcelona, Spain. And I would like to ask you about the term EBITDA. I would love that you enlighten me because I am sure I'm missing something. I know the theory EBITDA is EBIT, also called operating profit, plus depreciation and amortization. I just don't know why it is so important. You just have operating profit, this term, then you add the cost of amortization and depreciation, and then you have this term that is all over the place. I've been working with this term for a long time, and I would love to know why it is so important, why just not considering the term operating profit, which is to me so much simpler and straightforward. So any thoughts on it would be greatly appreciated. As always, I love your show, and I thank you so much for it. Bye-bye.
Okay, so he's talking about EBITDA, E-B-I-T-A, earnings before interest, tax, and amortization. And why is it important? Remember, this is the earnings of a company before interest, tax, and amortization. So what is it telling you? It's telling you how much money they actually really made. How much money they actually made from their operations. Not from, well, we had some special tax deal and so we had a lot more profits this year. Well, that special tax deal might end next year. Or we had a lot of interest earnings this year. Well, that really doesn't tell us how much sales you did, does it? And amortization, you get to depreciate, you know, items, and that depreciation kind of gives you a higher earnings rate than you really should, depending on how long and how big of depreciations that you get to use. So earnings before those things tell you a lot about the operations and the earnings strength of the operations of the company. That's why it's important. You don't talk about it. Many people don't talk about it very much, but it's kind of important. I'll give you an interesting scenario. What if you're an airline company? And you buy these billions of dollars worth of jets. How do you depreciate them? Over what period of time do you get to depreciate them? And what if you changed it by just a couple of years? Longer or shorter depreciation on airlines, on airplanes. That will have a huge impact because the planes are so expensive. Huge impact on your bottom line. So that's why EBITDA is important. Good question. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Investing is a confusing endeavor for many people. It is confusing. In fact, there's an entire industry that's grown up to advise investors. But even some of the sage advice suffers from exceptions. Sometimes that advice works out, and sometimes it doesn't. There are few absolutes in the world of investing. Very, very few. For example, diversification doesn't ensure safety. It's supposed to help. Diversification is supposed to reduce risk, but it doesn't ensure safety or reduction of risk. It's not absolute positive. It can usually add a measure of risk reduction. And that's all really you can say. It reduces the risk normally. Another idea that can seem bulletproof is real estate is a safe investment. Well, 2008, penny shot holes in that. But, you know, 2008, you know, if you invested 2007, 2008, you got killed. So we're here. I'm always here to talk about principle thing, give you an added margin, a buffer between you and loss. But the best rule to follow is the first one in my book. Have a plan. If you need help putting one together, I'll talk to you about it. I'll help you with a plan. Your questions, comments always come first. So what money matters on your mind today? Don't save it up. We're ready for your any money questions, 888-99-CHART. Let's get back to the phones and take another question from our 24-hour listener line.
Steve, Jason, this is Richard from Biloxi. I had a question on a company. M is a Mary C's and Charlie I is an Indian, is from New York. See if it's a good company for dividends. Like to know what would be a good point to get in and what would be a good point to get out. I listen on the iPod. Appreciate your help. Talk to you later.
Okay, that was M is in Mary, C is in cat, I is in eyeball? I is in, is that right? Okay. MC Babson Corporations. That's really interesting. One of my pieces of software, MCI, get MC Bassam Capital Corporation. And if I put MCI over on this, I'm getting Barings Corporation. I think he wants about Barings Corporation. That's what I think, anyways. Close-in fund. Close-in fund, focus on dividends, as we talked about that, a week or so ago. And close-in fund investing in long-term debt with equity features for current income and capital gains. They show a dividend of 7.7%. But remember that dividend is always looking backwards, not forward. So, you know, you cannot rely on it necessarily. Don't think that that is necessarily something you can say, well, okay, that's going to be that's what it's going to be going forward. But it is a closed-end fund, and they will try to maintain that dividend. That's one of the attractiveness, one of why people are attracted to buy these kinds of things. Looking at the chart, it looks like it's basing to me, so that's a good sign. It's fallen from like $19 or so back in about a year ago, and today it's been hovering around 15. Today it's at 15.50. So I think this is a good place to pick it up, but you'd have to look deeper into its holdings to really get a good idea, a good feel for what they're doing. From a chart basis and what they do, you know, it looks like a pretty solid company, and it's moved sideways for some time and it's starting to move higher. You're not going to get really great capital gains. You're not. You're just going to get your dividend yield. That's what you're going to focus on. So make sure they have the ability to keep paying that. Okay? A mid-year tax audit for your portfolio. That's one of our talking points. Also, I want to discuss several other things. Justin didn't get to it yesterday. Do's and don'ts for beneficiary designations. We want to talk about that. I think that's important, so we should, you know, continue with that. Home prices are still rising. You had the Case-Shiller report out today about 20 major metropolitan areas about home prices. We'll touch on that. And another home article that I want to discuss is why you shouldn't necessarily take your first offer when someone buys your house. Why you shouldn't necessarily take the largest offer or the first offer. Not in this market. Why? So if someone's offering you a lot more money than you ask, and you got other, why would you turn that down? There are reasons. So those are going to be the talking points today, what we're going to discuss. The market was up. The Dow was up 100. The NASDAQ was up 1. Isn't that interesting? Now, the Dow has been down, 3 days in a row? So, and the NASDAQ was up. So, you know, they traded place a little bit. The S&P, which is a broader indicator of the overall market, is better, and that, you know, as far as trying to determine how good the market is, and it was up 7 today. So, you know, I would tend to want you to look at the S&P if you're trying to, like, get a judge of the market. Not necessarily the Dow. Dow is only 30 stocks. That's not telling you much. And I would like to bring everybody's attention to IYT, which is an ETF of the transportation average. Why is transportation, why am I doing that? Because of the Dow theory. The Dow theory says that a movement in the Dow to be a solid upward trend or downward trend will be confirmed by the transportation index. And the transportation index has been moving down for 6 days in a row. It was up today and traded ended the day at the bottom of its range. So down 6 days in a row, up today, while the Dow has been moving up. Okay, but I noticed that the Dow is not moving up very strong. So there's a concern in my mind. The market's been pretty strong. You gotta give credit where credit's due. The market's been pretty strong. We have not seen the correction that normally comes sometime during the summer. And there's been that little tiny correction we had a little bit in June, and then it started moving up in July. So it went down, 3% or so in June? I mean, can you call that a correction? I mean, we've had a lot of 3% corrections in the last few years and very few normal corrections of 10%. So I guess we'll call that a correction, even though I don't feel comfortable doing it. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, 888-99-CHART is how to get through. You can do it right now. In the midst of all this important advice, there's some simple logic that it's hard to dispute, like this profound comment by Woody Allen. Money is better than poverty, if only for financial reasons. $888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to our friend Art Mendel Park. How are you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering about NGG. Looks like they're paying a pretty good dividend, and I was thinking that the British economy is going to improve a little bit.
Yeah, NGG is National Grid PLC. It is a British company engaged in gas, electric transmission, and distribution in the UK and US. It's huge. It's $42 billion. They pay a 4.7% dividend. And I would say, Art, that the dividend is pretty solid. That's not going away. That's solid. Solid as a rock. The sales have been shrinking of late, the last almost 2 years, which is a little bit disturbing, while at the same time earnings are not shrinking. So they're squeezing more efficiency out of whatever they're doing. And it had fell down to about 56, 57 at the beginning of the year. Now it's at 61.80. It's got a high of 68, 69, then came back down. So this is probably a pretty decent price, Art, right about where it is. It's one of those companies you're not going to make a lot of capital appreciation on. But, you know, if you buy it for the debt, it probably will give you some capital appreciation. Probably will. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
Thanks, Art. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. That plan we talked about earlier, that's an old cliche that says nobody plans to fail, but many fail to plan. You're likely to make fewer mistakes with your retirement preparation if you have a comprehensive financial plan in place. We can help you with that if you want. 888-99-CHART is how to get through, and you can do it in time.
Here's another benefit when you sign up for our InvestTalk Insider program, a brief list of real estate investment trusts, REITs, that should be on investors' radar if they're looking for exposure to this dividend-focused sector. You can sign up for this free InvestTalk Insider program on investtalk.com.
.  Let's talk to Kevin. How you doing, Kevin, in Fremont?
Doing good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, so I have $20,000 that I would like to invest, and I'd rather not lock it up in a 401k or an IRA.
Which, okay.
You know, I have both of those already, and I actually use my 401k option.
Thank you.
So would KPP be a good option where, you know, you can manage the money and invest it as, you know, as you wish, basically?
Yeah, well, 20,000 is a little bit low, Kevin, but as a customer in the 401k option, I think we can help you. If you'll give a call to Justin in the morning, tell him you're a member of the 401k program that we have, and tell him what you need. And I think we can help you with what we do. So give him a call in the morning, or send him an email, and you know, either way, you know, or send, and he'll, and I'll, and I just, and we'll help you as best we can. We can help you, that's for sure.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
Appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you for the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, so, well, let's talk about taxes. Everybody hates taxes. No one wants to think about it, but you have to. You have to when you invest. Now, if you're in an IRA, 401k, you don't care about taxes. 401k, Roth IRA, any tax-deferred account, you don't care about taxes. You don't have to talk about them. You don't have to consider them when you're buying, selling, any type of investment, except, see, there's always exceptions. In a IRA or 401k, if you buy a master limited partnership, that could be taxed differently and could be actually taxed in a 401k or IRA. You could be taxed because you might get a 1099 or a K-1 or something at the end of the year. Or a foreign corporation that you're investing in, you could be taxed on that, even in an IRA or 401k. So there are situations, but they're rare. Now, as far as how taxes work, you know, taxes on dividends versus taxes on capital gains, there's different tax treatments to that money. And let's talk about capital gains. Generally speaking, there's two kinds of taxes, short-term and long-term on capital gains. And that capital gains is when you buy something at $10 and you sell it for a profit at $15. That $5 is your capital gain. If you do that, buy at $10, sell at $15, in less than a year, you have to pay a higher capital gains tax, 20%, than if you kept it for over a year, then the capital gains rate is 15%. Now, did you know that if you make too much money, your capital gains rate will still be 20%? If you make over, I think it's $450,000 a year, you have to pay the higher rate on capital gains. So if you're lucky enough to make that kind of money, you'll be treated differently. You have to pay more taxes. Actually, it's even more than that, because then you'll also be in that special Obamacare tax of, what, 3% or 3 point some percentage, so you have to pay 23% or more. So there are tax differences. Why, you know, dividends are usually taxed at your ordinary income tax rate. Okay? Dividends are. So that also is not always true, but it's mostly true. It gets complex. You as an investor don't really want to, you kind of pay a little bit of attention to long-term versus short-term. If you have something you've had for, you know, 11 and a half months and you want to sell it for a profit, maybe wise to sell it for at 12 months and one day to get the long-term capital gains rate. But other than that, you know, you invest to make money. That's it. Now, if you want to avoid taxes altogether on your income, you can buy municipal bonds. There's no taxes, either state or federal, on municipal bonds. So there's a related article, by the way, on a website on this topic. So if you really want to look into it deeper, you can. But I generally suggest to clients, you might want to talk to an accountant when it comes to taxes, because I'm not an expert on them. That's not my job. My job is to make money for my clients. Let's get back to the 24-hour listener line and pick up another question. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, Steve. I'm a longtime listener from Fremont. Just asking a question about the Bank of America. What do you think about its price range in the next 2 years? Thank you.
Well, I think it probably will go higher. If you want to know the truth, Bank of America, BAC, is the symbol. Global, you know, it's Bank of America. It's $243 billion. Why do I think it might go higher? Well, because its earnings are going to go up 20% this year and another 20% next year. And I don't see that stopping. And the current PE is only 14. It's a $24 stock going to make $2.17 next year. That means the PE is going to be about 11. And the normal rate for the market is 15. Five-year PE range for Bank of America is 8 to 27. So I think they have some room to grow up. I do think they have over the next couple of years, as long as we don't fall in a recession. We're at the halfway mark. Plenty of time to get your question into the program. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and you can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial and the process of investing. It's more than just picking stocks. Investing begins with savings, of course, and along the way there are issues about taxes, there's estate planning, and on and on. KPP Financial clients have a ready resource of information about any and all of these personal financial matters. All they need to do is ask. Managing money gets more complex every day, and there are more options than the average person can possibly comprehend. And when we're confronted with too many choices, research shows that people put off a decision. And most times, that's not productive. So if you'd like to know about KPP Financial's investment programs, just check them out on investtalk.com. They're designed to suit any and all of life's situations. KPP Financial, serving the average investor, helping them find solutions for more than 20 years. Now let's get back to the podcast. Invest Talk continues on, a service of KPP Financial, unencumbered by large corporate mentality, able to respond to today's fast-paced market, and investing right along with their clients. KPP Financial, independent thinking, shared success. Our Invest Talk listener line is open 24/7, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Steve calling from Bend, Oregon. I listen to you by podcast and appreciate it very much. I'm calling to ask about the VIX, and if you could just maybe explain it a little bit for us. Various financial websites talk about the VIX, and the VIX is high or the VIX is low, and that means this or that, and influences this or that. And apparently you can even trade the VIX, either trade it like a stock or trade it with options. But my understanding is the VIX really isn't a company. So when you buy the VIX, you know, what exactly are you buying? And what determines the VIX, and why does it go up and down, and why is it so important? Why do so many people talk about it? If you could maybe elaborate a little bit on that subject, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure, the VIX, V-I-X, is the volatility index, okay? And it's not a company, it's not a stock. You really can't buy it. You can't buy the VIX. You can buy something that tries to mimic the VIX, but you can't buy it, okay? And what it is just a, it's also known as the fear gauge. And the reason why that is people buying or selling options. And what it is that the people buying and selling options on stocks or indexes, and the VIX is a compilation of whether they're buying put options or call options, meaning whether they think the market's going to go down or up, and that's why the VIX is a volatility index. If people get fearful, they buy more protection on their stocks, more options to protect their stocks from going down. And therefore, the VIX would go up, the volatility index would go up. And if they get very complacent, not worried, they don't have any protection on. And the, you know, it's just I'm trying to make it very, very simple. So it's all it does is trying to gauge the fear of investors, the fear and greed of investors. And the lower it is, the less fearful investors are, because the way they are buying and selling options. The higher it is, the more fearful investors are, because they're trying to protect themselves with other kinds of options. Okay? So you watching the VIX, all that tells you is if it's very low, which it is right now, 9.43, that's very, very low, almost historic low, means no one is worried about the market at all. Not worried. There's no fear. That's what this kind of is telling you. Okay? If it goes up to 25, 35, 40, it can go up as high as 80, 90 in the 2008. Spikes up. And if you look at a chart, you'll see the spikes. I mean, in November, it spiked up to 22. Now it's at 9. In July, it had a one-day spike all the way up to 15.5, but didn't close there. It closed at 11. So, you know, that's how it works. It just is a representation of people's fears and how the investors react by buying options to protect themselves or not to protect themselves. I guess that's the easiest way to explain it. Of course, you can go to Investopedia and they'll give you a lot more detailed explanation. But I try to make it a little bit simpler if I can. Let's go to Will in San Diego. How you doing, Will?
Oh, pretty good, Steve.
Thank you for the call.
I have a managed account, and the person managing it just bought about 4% of the portfolio in Intel.
Uh-huh.
So I was wondering, would you consider Intel to be a good buy at this time?
Actually, I would say yes. I kind of think it is at a good price. It's fallen to about 33.25 to 33.50. Today it's at 34.67. It did that low, 33.25 to 33.50, three or four times in the last 1 year. And every time it's gone there, it's popped up and it's gone as high as 36 to 38. So I would say he bought it nearer the low than the high. And if you look at the fundamentals of the company, looking at the company itself, it's pretty reasonable price. They're going to make $2.97 next year, 4% increase and 5% increase this year. $2.97 on a $34 stock. So what is that, 12 PE?
12 PE.
And the range is 9 to 17. So it's not at the low part of the range, but we're talking about Intel too, which is very good. And I like that recently insiders were buying at that low price in July.
Oh, okay.
So okay. I'm going to say I think it was a pretty good decision. So don't beat him up. Only beat him up.
Okay.
Will, you can beat him up if it goes down, you know, to $20 a price. Then you can beat him up, and then you can call me
right.
up and tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay? No, I think it was a good buy.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, Will. I appreciate it. Let's go to David in New Hampshire. How you doing, David?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Sure. So I ran across Corning the other night, ticker GLW.
Yes.
Gamma Lima Whiskey.
Yep.
And I realized that I've missed a bit of a run-up over the last year and a half in price, but the PE looks good, PEG looks good, earnings are forecasted to increase next year, so I'm wondering what you think.
Well, I think all those things were true except for the PE part. I think it's a little expensive right now. Now, they're going to make $1.73 this year. That's 12% higher than last year. And then another 9% increase next year to $1.88. And it's a $32 stock. The 5-year PE range is 10 to 19. And right now, based on last year's earnings, the PE right now is 19. Going forward, it's going to drop down to 17 or so. So it's not that cheap, but there's always a but. You ever notice that, David? There's always a but. The sales have been increasing. You know, they're now at 16% the last quarter increase. The quarter before that was 11%. Before that was 10. Before that was 1. So that's why it's been a steady increase in price. Things are looking brighter at Corning, GLW. So people are kind of paying up for it. It's at a new 52-week high. So, David, it's in a trend, uptrend. You can play the momentum, knowing full well it's a little bit pricey, or you can try to wait for a pullback. A pullback to $29 would sure, almost maybe even $30, sure would make me feel a lot better. But it's a good solid
okay.
company. Good solid
so
company.
So, I'm looking at the price at around 32.
Yeah.
And earnings per share are 3.6 and change.
Wait a minute. $3.06? Where are you looking for $3.06 a share? I don't see that earnings. Where are you getting that number?
What earnings do you see per share?
Okay, for 2017, it's $1.73. In 2018, $1.88. So I would use $1.88. So to take 32 divided by $1.88, and you get a PE of 17.
Okay, I'm looking at some bad info. Glad I called.
Yeah, so if it's $3, man, then yeah, you're right. That PE looks pretty cheap to me. But I'm not seeing that.
Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. That was GLW, everybody, Corning Corporation. Okay. Home prices. They're still rising. The Case-Shiller report came out, which comes out every month. And it looks back for the year and looks at 20 cities and determines if prices are still going up, down, sideways, up 5.7%. The best area was three best areas and three best cities were Seattle, Portland, and Denver. They had the strongest growth prospects, and Chicago had the weakest. But do you think prices are higher than they were at the peak in, 2006? Do you think they're higher or lower based on the 20 cities that they track? Well, they're lower by 3.7%, so they are getting pretty darn close to the peak of 2006, I think it was. So that's the home prices. We know that there's kind of a shortage kind of going on here because there's just not enough inventory now. And it's so funny because I remember distinctly sitting on this radio show talking about in the middle of the crisis that foreclosures were increasing dramatically. We had way too many houses, way overbuilt, and here a number of years later we're talking about shortages. Don't have enough. And that's even with millennials not buying at nearly the rate that the baby boomers, my generation, did. Millennials are more, they like renting more. They're not coming into the marketplace at nearly as fast. They are coming in, but not nearly as fast. There's no excuse for not reviewing your retirement plan with a professional. Most will do it for free. I do it for free. If they don't do it for free, go the other way. Walk away from them. As time's allowed, I schedule hours all the time to do this. I do it all, as much as I can. Why? Because this is one of the ways I talk to people and I get business this way. I'm not shy about that. I'm not pretending. But that's why every one of us would do it for free. Because we hope that you will appreciate our advice, take it, and maybe hire us. Now, I can do these via telephone, Skype, and in person. If you'd like to reserve your own hour on telephone or Skype, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then portfolio review. It's free, no obligation. I truly mean that. I like doing it. It's a service of KPP Financial.
A survey showed that 73% of investors say keeping my money safe is more important to me than trying to generate returns. Steve takes risk management seriously too, and that's why during his portfolio reviews, he examines retirement accounts with risk in mind, managing it to protect investors' future. Steve schedules just a few of these individual checkups each month. If you'd like to reserve your own hour on Skype or telephone, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then portfolio review.
888-99-CHART. We're talking to Dan in San Jose. How you doing, Dan?
Fine, Steve. Good to talk to you. Listen to you on 1220 every day.
Thank you.
I just had a quick question about given the Amazon Whole Foods business.
Yeah.
A Costco, I was tempted to buy into that because I don't think they're going to be affected.
Nope, I don't either. I don't think so. I can't. First of all, a lot of people are just accepting the fact that everything Amazon touches succeeds. Almost the same thing with Tesla. Everything that, what's his name, the owner of Tesla, what's that guy's name?
Elon Musk.
Yeah, Musk. Everything he touches succeeds. I'm not buying into that. I think that this Amazon purchase of Whole Foods, which, by the way, I like because we own Whole Foods when he did it and made a lot of money and sold it, but I'm not so sure that it's going to be so easy to be successful in the food business, number one. Number two, Costco, whole different model, okay? Whole different model of way to do business. It's not going to be affected one iota in my mind.
Would you be a buyer at this price?
Actually, I think it's a pretty good price to buy Costco right now. The forward PE is like 23, and the five-year range is 21 to 33. I think this might be where it's going to hold and maybe move up from. So, yes, the answer is yes.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Dan. Appreciate it. It's fallen from 180 down to 153. It was up today a couple percentage points, but I think it looks like it's trying to bottom right in here. I kind of like it in this range. Let's talk to another Dan, this one in San Mateo. How you doing, Dan?
Doing good, thank you. I wanted to ask about the proportion of bonds I should be having in my portfolio.
Okay.
These things seem to be straightforward historically. They had rules like the 110 rule. 110 minus your age,
yes.
That's what you should have in stock. The
yes.
Proportion, the rest, bonds. That would put me at about needing 30% bonds nowadays. I'm 40 years old. I'm retired at 60. I've heard a lot of the distaste for bonds, though. I mean, with interest rates at an all-time low and bond prices high, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Does that change the rules? I mean, should I still be having bonds? I figure if the stock market takes a dive, the bond market's going up to offset it.
That's true.
Should I still be having bonds, or have these rules changed, and should I no longer be having this large proportion, say 20% or whatever at my age, in bonds?
Well, that's a very, very good question, Dan. Just to be honest, that's a very good question. I would say the rule does not change other than to fit your personality, your personal needs. And you got to remember that the bond's interest rate had fallen for 30, 35 years down, down, down. So that rule came about with that in mind. Now that we're at this very low interest rate, most people, me included, think over the long term, interest rates are going to slowly rise. So bonds are a great place to diversify and protect yourself against the stock market risk, but I don't think they're going to be very good for any returns or any very good returns.
So a guy at my age, 40 years old, is it totally reasonable to be 95% invested in equities in my portfolio and 5% in bonds? I mean, it violates all the conventional rules.
I say,
if you're
asking me my opinion, I would say, yes, that makes total sense to be 95% at age 40. If you're going to retire at age 60, you got 20 years. Yes, the market's going to fall, but over 20 years, the market has never gone down. Over a 20-year period.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. So, I mean, if you look at those 2040 target date funds, those kind of things, they're still pretty...
pretty heavy in stocks.
Yeah, they have about... A little more bond. Well, they have some bonds in there, too, so that's why I'm asking. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Those rules may have changed. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate the call. You're listening to Invest Talk. Aaron, hold on. We'll get to you. We'd love to hear from you before the hour's up. 888-99-CHART. We'll try to get to your question. Promise. 888-992-4278. Okay, let's talk about beneficiaries. No, I'm sorry. We got to talk to Aaron first, don't we? I'm sorry, Aaron, New York. How you doing? Sorry, keep you waiting.
I'm great, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm calling about AAWW.
Okay.
It's a freight packaging play. It's trading at a slightly higher PE than UPS and FedEx, but it has an Amazon connection in that they have an option to buy, I believe, a third of it.
Oh, wow.
And because Amazon is the 800-pound gorilla, it can send a lot of packages any provider's way. I'm curious your thoughts on the company.
Well, I do like that Amazon connection you're talking about. And if that's true, that's very positive for the company. Because remember, if they're going to buy a third of the company, they got to buy it from the shareholders, current shareholders somehow. It's a $1.4 billion company, so it's a small company. Amazon could buy it all if he wanted to. And I do like the earnings are pretty steady, going to be $4.64 this year, up 2% from last year, and then up 9% next year to $5.06 on a $58 stock. Sales are increasing about 10 to 12% in the last few couple of quarters. Before that, sales were kind of flat, but they jumped up recently. Atlas Air Worldwide People, AAWW, provides aircraft and airport-to-airport scheduling services to airline freight forwarders through lease arrangements. So you can see how Amazon would be interested. They ship a lot of stuff everywhere. You know, maybe they want to control the shipment movements. Yeah, I can see that being a good fit. Really great cash flow, but not a really good return on equity number, only 8%. But the cash flow is $11. That's huge. Management owns 3%. Mutual funds are just holders, not necessarily buyers. Has a little bit of debt. I kind of like the play. I just don't know if I want to buy it here right at the 52-week high. The last time it got to this price, right where it is, it fell down to $48, and that's, you know, almost a 20% fall. So I kind of wait for a pullback if I wanted to buy it. That's what I would do, Aaron, wait for that pullback. But I do like the story, and the company is solid. Okay?
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. AAWW. Let's talk about beneficiaries. I want to talk about beneficiaries because everybody kind of ignores them. Beneficiaries. Most people are common, know about them because they're so common in IRAs and 401ks. But once you fill out that form, you quickly forget that you did. A beneficiary is someone who inherits your money, the beneficiary of your assets if you die. Now, in a 401k, IRA, Roth IRA, any of the retirement accounts, you want to make an individual recipient of those as a beneficiary. You do not want to make your estate, your trust, your company. You want to make sure you list beneficiaries individuals. If you're married, the beneficiary goes to your husband or wife or your significant other automatically. They have to sign off if you want to, like, the 401k IRA to go to maybe your children. And you can have more than one. 50% can go to this person, 50% to that person. But beneficiaries are extremely important because if you forget, if a person, what if one of your beneficiaries dies? What if you have to kind of keep track, not on a daily basis, not talking about that, but on, you know, every so often you need to check it to make sure that who you have as beneficiaries is who you want. And they're still around because things change. Things change. Now, so I guess I can't get too much in it. You have to also take a look at your will, see what it says about beneficiaries in there. It's kind of important. And, of course, any trust you have, you want to take a look at the beneficiaries in it. Because, and you just need to be careful. You need to look at it every so often. Time's up for the hour. Be sure to sign up for our free InvestTalk Insiders program. Lots of good information and recorded webinars as well. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. For Justin Klein and everybody and the whole KPP family, I want to thank you for being with us today. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.